Will the members please show their attendance by sitting down first and then voting? Has any member failed to vote? Will clerk take the roll, please?
36 present, 4 absent. Did Martin register?
No.
No.
Will the record... Should we take another roll call?
No, just say he's...
Will the record please show that Representative Martin is here? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, no one is excused from the call today.
The prayer today is by Pastor John Tyndall, the Northern Lights United Church. Will the members please rise for today's prayer? Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, I ask the prayer be spread in the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread in the journal. Will the chief clerk please certify us the correctness of the previous day's journal?
There is a correction to the journal as follows. We had a transposition. On page 493, please put the speaker waived referral of House Bill 357 to the Special Subsistence Committee. On page 494, the speaker waived referral of Senate Bill 90 to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. These bills were referred to the Finance Committee. With this correction, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 53rd day in House Supplement Number 22.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent of the journal for the 53rd day as corrected, and House Journal Supplement Number 22 be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and the journal supplement stand approved. Any guests for introduction to the House today? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, a friend of mine, lifelong friend of mine from Dillingham, Mr. Herman Schroeder.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B are two more members of It's going to be a long day. Professor Olson's journalism class from the University of Alaska at Fairbanks. I'd like to introduce Laura Kent and Margaret Nelson.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, two students from Valdez High School and soon-to-be voters, I trust, Jenny Cooper and Diana Pierce.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, we have a visitor from the state of Montana. He's formerly lived in Alaska and Fairbanks for a number of years. He has offices in Fairbanks and Valdez. Happens to be my brother-in-law, Jim Spring.
Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I read the following resolution and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Resolution Number 1 relating to land allocation in the Tungus National Forest. House Resolve Number 1. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2 by Sumner, relating to the employment of persons in permanent part-time positions in state government.
State Affairs.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 14 amended by Bradley, protesting Internal Revenue Service regulations removing the tax-exempt status of certain private schools.
Hess and Judiciary.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 18 by the Resources Committee, urging passage of a bill in Congress to amend the Shipping Act 1916 to provide that a state, the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, or a territory or possession of the United States be considered a citizen of the United States for the purposes of the Act.
Resources.
Senate Bill Number 32 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act adopting the Interstate Corrections Compact and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 125 by Holman, an act making a special appropriation for operating expenses of radio station KYUK, Bethel, and lapsing a portion of an appropriation for a capital expenditure for that station and providing for an effective date.
Commerce and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Resources has had House Concurrent Resolution Number 9 requesting the Department of Commerce and Economic Development to enforce the law regarding corporate foreign affiliation under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbeck, co-chairman, concurred in by Miles, co-chairman, Cotton, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbeck. Signing no recommendation, Chatterton, Eliason, and Halford. House Concurrent Resolution Number 9 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 25, Unemployment Insurance Coverage for Employees of the State and its Political Subdivisions, under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, chairman, concurred in by Smith, Rogers, Moss, Guy, Haugen, and Montgomery. Signing do pass, Meekins, Duncan, McKinnon, and Freeman. House Bill 25 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 29, an act relating to the public employees' retirement system under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 29 and reports it back with individual recommendations and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, chairman, signing do pass, Miller and Parker. Signing no recommendation, Metcalf. Signing do not pass, Martin, Gardner, and Fuller. House Bill 29 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 44, Supplemental Appropriations to the Legislative Affairs Agency, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Guy, Moss, Smith, and Haugen. House Bill 44 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 121, a special appropriation to the University of Alaska Kenai Peninsula Community College, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 121 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mrs. Munson, Vice Chairman, signing do pass, Hurlburt, Chatterton, and Munson. Signing no recommendation, Miles and Byrne. House Bill 121 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 199, establishing a division of subsistence hunting and fishing, under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbeck, chairman, signing do pass, Osterbeck, Jaroff, and Fuller. Signing no recommendation, Cotton, Halford, Eliason, and Miles. House Bill 199 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 237, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for the Iditarod Trail Race, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, Guy, Moss, Rogers, Smith, McKinnon, and Duncan. House Bill 237 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 233, a supplemental appropriation to the University of Alaska for laboratory equipment on the Anchorage campus, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Duncan, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Moss, Guy, Montgomery, and Freeman. Mr. Haugen has no recommendation. House Bill 233 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 249 relating to the membership of the Alaska Pioneers Home Advisory Board, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 249 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, chairman, concurred in by Miller, Eliason, Metcalf, and Fuller. Signing no recommendation, Martin and Parker. House Bill 249 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 261, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Law for a training program on the revised criminal code, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, Guy, Moss, Rogers, Smith, McKinnon, and Duncan. House Bill 261 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 262, a special appropriation to the Department of Law for a training program on the revised criminal code, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, Guy, Moss, Rogers, Smith, McKinnon, and Duncan. House Bill 262 has no further referral. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 293 relating to the Alaska Right-of-Way Leasing Act under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 293 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Branson, Carney, Parr, Zaroff, and O'Connell. Mr. Metcalf has no recommendation. House Bill 293 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
I have a citation commemorating the Iditarod Trail Race by Representative Carney. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 366 by McKinnon and Buchholz. An act providing for credited service under the Public Employees Retirement System for former employees of the Alaska State Housing Authority and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 367 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Office of the Governor for labor, trades, and crafts employees' negotiated salaries and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 368 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making supplemental appropriations to the Office of the Governor for general government, public safety, and confidential employees' salaries and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 369 by Cotton. An act relating to participation in the public employees' retirement system and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
May we be at ease, please?
House, please stand. Please come back to order. We're under consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill Number 136 by Anderson. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Fish and Game for purchase of a sonar fish counter at Nooshageck and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 136 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 136 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, co-chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Fuller, Cotton, Osterbach, and Jaroff. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 136 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 136 Finance and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Duncan, Moss, Rogers, McKinnon, Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, and Schaefer. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill Number 136 be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Finance Committee substitute for House Bill Number 136 will be considered in lieu of the original bill. Are there any amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, please have a brief at ease for the purpose of preparing an amendment.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Malone.
Speaker, I did place an amendment on the clerk's desk during the at ease.
Will the Chief Clerk please read amendment number one?
Amendment number one by Mr. Malone. Page one, line 18. Delete river, insert peninsula.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, before making the motion, explain that the amendment is a technical amendment. Actually, there's two rivers involved, the Kenai River and Kisilof River. Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number one be adopted.
There's no objection. Amendment number one will be adopted. Are there any further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill Number 136 amended by the House be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill 136 is engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed in final passage. Will the Chief Clerk please read Committee substitute for House Bill 136 in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 136 Finance amended by the Finance Committee. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Fish and Game for sonar fish counters and providing for an effective date.
Representative Rogers.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, to explain what the Finance Committee did with this bill, it looks as if we've cut out a bunch of money. In fact, we have, if you notice on the original and the Resources Committee substitute, there was $100,000 for purchase of a sonar fish counter for Inushagak. It turned out there was another sonar fish counter which could be used during this season. If we had appropriated $100,000 for purchase, it would not have been available for this season anyway. So in terms of new equipment, there's no way to get new equipment for this season. We were able to work out with Fish and Game a transfer of one counter from another area of the state without doing any serious damage to the other area. There were four in the other area. There are now three. In addition, this movement allows for a counting test on the Crescent River in Cook Inlet, and then it turns out there's an additional problem on the Kenai Peninsula where one of the runs was not being counted under current budget. We were able to add that in and keep within around half of the original budget.
Is there any further debate? The question before the House is final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 136. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? The clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, two excused.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 136 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 136 amended by the House be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 136 as amended by the House will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill number 81 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to trapping license receipts and providing for an effective date. This bill was returned to Finance in third reading.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Freeman.
May we have a brief at ease, please?
House Bill order. House Bill 81 and also House Bill 93 were on the calendar at one point, and they were in third reading and referred back to committee. So House Bill 81 that's now before us is already in third reading. So if there were any amendments offered, we'd have to have a motion to return to second reading. So the Chief Clerk, please read House Bill 81 in third reading and also read the committee reports for the bill.
House Bill number 81 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to trapping license receipts and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 81 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Halford, Chatterton, Eliason, Fuller, Cotton, Jaroff, and Osterbach. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 81 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Duncan, Rogers, Moss, Freeman, Haugen, and Montgomery. Signing no recommendation, Meekins, McKinnon, and Schaefer. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rogers.
Of the fund.
the fiscal note on this bill is $36,000, but it's really not 30, it's really zero, because it's $36,000 will go into the fish and game fund instead of into the general fund. Either way, it gets spent.
Is there any further debate? Question for the House is final passage of House Bill 81. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 3 excused.
House Bill 81 has passed the House. Representative Cotton. House, please stand. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, we did not adopt an effective date on House Bill number 81, so at this time, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill number 81 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There is no objection. The roll call on the final passage of House Bill 81 will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill number 93 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Office of the Governor for supervisory bargaining unit contract and providing for an effective date. We are in third reading.
Will the Chief Clerk please read the committee reports?
The Committee on Finance is at House Bill 93 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Duncan, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Schaefer, and Freeman. Having no recommendation, Meekins, Moss, and Montgomery.
Is there any debate? Representative Randolph.
Sorry. You know, after Representative Freeman's very articulate and in passing remarks of yesterday on the same subject, basically, it's with the effect that it seemed to have or the lack thereof, I feel kind of useless to stand up here and say what I'm going to say, but I think it ought to be said one more time. Probably we say it several more times before the year's over. I assume that you've got the votes to pass this bill, or you wouldn't have it on the calendar, and I would commend you for the effectiveness of your caucuses. I want to read one paragraph of a letter. I received a number of pieces of correspondence from my hometown. I don't know whether those were prompted by anybody else or not, but I had several phone calls and several letters, and I sat down the other night and wrote a response to that, part of which goes as follows. It says, I agree that in normal times, requested increase is modest, but when compared to what's happening in the private sector across Alaska, it takes on an entirely different light. Not only is the private sector not receiving a cost of living increase, the vast majority has experienced very substantial reductions. Observe, if you will, all the closed and closing shops, the bankruptcies, the long lines at the union halls, and employment offices, the very significant increase in accounts receivable and delinquent payments of all sorts, and then count your blessings. Your friends and neighbors who work for other than government are going broke, losing their jobs and businesses, and in general are having a very tough time of it. I simply don't have the guts to ask them to pay additional taxes, to pay the additional taxes required to fund a raise for those of you who do have good, secure positions in government. I don't think I can say any more.
Representative Montgomery.
Mr. Speaker, I am opposed, as most of you know, to the bill under consideration at this time. I want to make 2 points very clear. Number one, I am not opposed to union negotiations or union representation. I don't think that is what we are voting on today. I'm also not opposed to the fact that if the contract was signed in December, that we should not make those payments. A commitment is a commitment, so I'm not opposed to that. The bill that we're voting on today is a supplemental appropriation for this particular contract. Many of us, and most of us, have talked about fiscal responsibility and trying to have a balanced budget, and I'm proceeding on that basis for my voting against this particular document. I would honor the contract, but I feel that by tight fiscal management, you can live within the amount of money you have. If this bill passes, and you probably do have enough votes to make it pass, if it does pass, I would urge you to give long and serious consideration to your future negotiated agreements, because this is just the tip of the iceberg. And it's not if we're going to do it or when, but we must start somewhere. So I challenge each and every one of you who say you're fiscally responsible to assume that responsibility. This particular contract does involve 870 people, and there are only about 29 that are in the lower salary bracket, below $20,000. It may be of interest to you that there are 210 of those employees that make in excess of $40,000, and there are 24 that make in excess of $50,000. Thank you.
Representative Rogers. Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, that's got to be the dumbest argument I've ever heard. You know, if you want socialism, let's admit what we're doing and buy it. That's what we're talking about, socialism or free enterprise. If you really buy socialism, go ahead and buy it, but tell your constituencies next election that's what you're doing.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I can't let that one pass. This is the opposite of socialism. Fact is, collective bargaining is one of the strong pillars on which the American free enterprise system has been developed and remains strong.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, for those who say question, sorry. Mr. Speaker, I guess a lot of us have had problems with this, and the problems we have are the kind that Mr. Montgomery referred to. I think those people who are making the lower range of the salaries, there's no problem with that. We all realize what inflation's bitten into them. But it does go pretty hard to give an increase to somebody who's making over $50,000 a year. It appears to me the responsibility of the appropriate standing committee to take a hard look at perhaps introducing a bill to reform our salary structure. It makes no sense for people making more money than the governor in any circumstances.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to say that collective bargaining is not collective bargaining when it's done by a unit that's become so powerful that it and has so many concessions going its direction that we now have many, many people standing in line that would be happy to take those same jobs for much less, and we haven't made any attempt to look at it from that point of view. I believe that there would be two or three people for every single job that would be happy to take the same job without those benefits that we're adding. Thank you.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to remind the body that it is not the legislature that negotiates this contract. It's the governor's office.
Is there any further debate? The question before the House is the final passage of House Bill number 93. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 15 Nays, 2 excused.
House Bill number 93 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the, lacking 27 votes, Mr. Speaker, I move the effective date clause.
Can I stand at ease?
Will the House please stand at ease? The motion before the House at this time is to adopt the effective date clause. That motion does take 27 votes. If there's no debate, members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 7 nays, 2 excused.
The effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I give notice of reconsideration on House Bill 93.
Notice of reconsideration is noted by Representative Randolph. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Citation in memoriam, Walter Keister, a pioneer Alaskan homesteader, by Representative Moss.
Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, I move the citation.
If there is no objection, record will reflect that the citation in memoriam of Walter Keister is adopted unanimously by the House. The Chief Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Citation commending Sister Roblo, outstanding humanistic effort, requested by Representative Martin and Metcalf and Senator Dankworth.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a few moments to relate to you and this distinguished body.
Representative Martin, would you move the citation first?
Yes, sir. I'd like to move that the citation be unanimously approved by the body. I'm out of order.
The motion has been made to adopt the citation. Objection is noted. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll learn eventually, gang. Stick with me. Mr. Speaker, this citation in honor of Sister Roblo tells us a very sad but true story of an individual that wants to do what she feels is right and of government interference. Mr. Speaker, we have in front of us a citation that recognizes her dedicated work, and hopefully will inspire within each and every one of us the old cliche that true charity begins at home, in the heart, and through the soul. Mr. Speaker, on the legislative lounge this morning, I had put a series of 3 newspaper articles. The one is dated June the 11th. It's a very inspiring article that tells us about this one woman who served 115,000 meals to the poor of Anchorage. Now, this was very inspiring. A lot of people were most impressed about this individual effort. But evidently, the people of the local health department and the environmental agency can read. And they decided that something should be done about this. So, 1 month later, on July 14th, we see an article that more or less condemns Sister Roblo's efforts, because evidently she didn't have a health permit and she didn't follow some codes that necessarily needed to be followed in her private home. The director of the health environment said that Sister Roblo is running a good operation, but they are concerned as municipal inspectors about the establishment and some of the requirements to assure her of a permit. He concluded by saying, "We are concerned in the protection of the public. Here we have a person feeding people who are eating off the streets where dogs excrete, eating out of dumpsters and ravaging through the garbage bags left around to look for bits of food, with people who are picking up bottles in the gutters and draining out the last bit of alcohol. And yet the health department is concerned. What are they doing with the millions of tax dollars that they receive directly to help the people? And how few government agencies are willing to directly work with the people in the street?" The inspection that was given says that Mrs. Roblo's facilities are not adequate. for one. There was 20 complaints. She needed two cutting boards, not one. She needed swinging doors in her home to the bathroom. She needed four stainless steel kitchen sinks. She only had two out of her private home. She needed a dishwasher that was adequate to wash the dishes. Surprisingly, sir, she doesn't use dishes. She uses disposable trays for the people. Now the government says that to remodel her home, according to the borough's regulation, will cost only $300,000. So this citation is a little pat on the back in encouraging people to give of themselves. I hope this body would unanimously approve of this citation. Thank you.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, in response to Mr. Martin's explanation here, I would ask him to get with me after the session, and we'll see if the Finance Committee at least can look into that question. We do fund the operations of the inspectors, and they do some really good work and some needed work, but we've had a couple of other situations similar where I think following the rules too strictly has resulted in something that we really wouldn't want to advocate in the end. We had that situation last year, and we are looking into it by subcommittee, so if you'll get with me after the session, we'll see if we can try to do something about that.
Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Through you, may I inquire of the sponsor of this citation the common name for the good sister's work, what it's called?
Representative Martin.
The name of the, Mr. Speaker, through you to my colleague to my right, why the, what's the vernacular term used for the, what the work that the sister is doing? Is there a catchphrase that is used?
Yes, sir. It's been dubbed Meals on Wheels, because evidently she was able to obtain a van, and through volunteers' efforts, in the van they put the trays and things like that and went down to 4th Avenue and just literally gave the meals to the people. Thank you.
Is there any further debate? Is objection maintained? If there's no objection, the citation commending Sister Roblo is adopted unanimously by the House. The Chief Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Citation honoring Morel Duke Lyons, recently retired from the Fairbanks Police Department. Requested by Representatives Parr, Brown, Bettisworth, Rogers, Randolph, Moss, and Smith.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the citation.
Citation has been moved. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there are many fine police officers who retire, and I don't believe this body is going to have a citation proposed for every one of them, even though they may have done fine work. But Duke Lyons is a person, a singular person, an exceptional person. It's not mentioned in the citation, but Duke Lyons is black. And he has done, I think, more to ameliorate difficulties between the black population in Fairbanks and the police force than any one single person. And he is a, I think it's a unanimous, I would say that there's hardly a person in Fairbanks who knows him, who does not like him and does not respect him.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, in this day of the Los Angelization of America, I had an unusual situation for a while that I both really lived in the core area of Fairbanks and I also practiced law there, and also spent most of my time right in the core of the city, and I had occasion to see the performance of the Fairbanks City policemen. And I'm sure the members of the judiciary have heard me criticize law enforcement officials on more than one occasion. But this guy is one of the best cops I've ever seen, and I wish that we had about a dozen more like him. When he was on 2nd Avenue, there wasn't a problem on 2nd Avenue, pipeline or no pipeline.
If there's no objection, the citation honoring Duke Lyons will be adopted unanimously by the House. It completes the daily calendar. Representative Guy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introduction?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Guy.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. It is a pleasure to be introducing a friend of mine in Gallery B, Father Nicholas Compa.
Are there any other guests for introduction? Brings us to unfinished business. Representative Miller.
Very brief, please.
House, please. We're under unfinished business. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business, I move that the House concur with Senate amendments to House Bill number 78, thus adopting House Bill number 78 as amended by the Senate.
Will the Chief Clerk please read House Bill number 78 by title?
House Bill number 78, amended Senate, effective date amended. By the Rules Committee, by request of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for funding of transportation programs during the final quarter of fiscal year 1979 and providing for an effective date.
This is the supplemental appropriation that contains the other 25% of the DOT budget. Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, I don't have a copy of the bill. Can we get copies?
The House, please stand at ease.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I assume someone's going to tell us the difference between this and what the Senate did to the one we passed.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, if you'll look on your, on the information that was put on your desk yesterday, the Senate adopted an effective date clause on page 5, line 12.
That's an immediate effective date clause. Is there any further debate? I have a roll call. The question for the House is the adoption of the Senate amendments to House Bill number 78. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 5 excused.
The House has adopted the Senate amendments to House Bill number 78. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, in order to protect ourselves technically, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill number 78 amended by the Senate be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, the roll call in adopting the Senate amendments to House Bill number 78 will be shown as the roll call in the effective date clause. Under unfinished business, with the concurrence of the finance chairman, the referral of House Bill 301 to the Finance Committee will be waived. Are there any other items of unfinished business to come before the House? Brings us to special orders. Are there any special orders? Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to talk about land disposal, please.
Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, it seems these days everybody's talking about land disposal in one form or other. People are resigning, and there's rumors about other people doing this and that, and got a lot of promises on the question of land disposal, but the facts are pretty hard to come by. I think one thing we can say for certain is that House Bill 720 that legislature passed last year, an attempt to get 30,000 acres of land out to the people, really hasn't worked yet. We've got a lot of promises in that area, but to date, the administration's got out a grand total of 62 acres. It seems like that's a fairly intolerable situation. We keep hearing that more's on the way, but it just isn't coming. Maybe we're not going to get what we asked for. That's about the only conclusion that that I can personally come to, Mr. Speaker. And not only that we're not going to get what we asked for, but the people of the state aren't going to get what they asked for. The situation is pretty bad right now. We've essentially been ignored, I think, Mr. Speaker, when we mandated that the 30,000 acres in home site and open entry land gets passed out. We've been ignored. It seems like not only the letter of the law, but the intention of the law to get this land out has been very strongly violated. And there's a number of people, not the least of which is Representative Freeman, who spent hours and hours and hours on it, who take this pretty seriously. We've had a number of discussions, Representative Freeman, myself, and other members of the body, on the subject. And frankly, we've come to the conclusion that there's nothing we can hope for. So we have to take some matters into our own hands, and try and change the law. That's the only way out of it. The programs, Mr. Speaker, that the legislature passed are good ones. They accommodate a wide range of residential and recreational land disposal need. But again, what have we got today? 9 months or 10 months after the law was passed, so far the people of Alaska have 62 acres. So what do we do now? Looks to me like we have three options. We can do nothing and let this go on. We can wait for the homestead initiative to be resolved by the court system, but that doesn't do anything, really. That's out of our hands. Or we can improve the existing system and pinpoint exactly where the problems were in 720 and move some land out. It's a reluctant position, I think, that I have, but comes down to the movie theme that's been real popular later. We're mad as hell and we're just not going to take it anymore. Subsequently, for the last 3 weeks, we've been working on a new package, on a land disposal package that will be introduced next week. It's in draft form and certainly available for comments and suggestions by any members of this body. It's going to correct the mistakes in 720, and it's going to do a couple of other things. It's going to eliminate a lot of the administrative obstacles that we have. There are numerous hoops that the bureaucracy can put in the way of getting this program out, getting the land out to the people. We're going to try and get rid of those. In essence, it will give Alaskans the option to buy land outright or enter, in Representative Freeman's way, on a home site basis. It will be a very specific, very detailed, well-defined plan that mandates X amount of land getting out to the people in X time. It seems like last year we may not have paid enough attention to the actual details. We passed the law and went home, and everything was forgotten. All the hard work and the blood, sweat, and tears on these issues is done. This year it's not going to be like that. Constitution says, and this is a quote, "The legislature shall provide for the utilization, development, and conservation of all natural resources belonging to the state, including land and waters, for the maximum benefit of its people." I guess the sum and substance of the message is that we've delegated this responsibility to the administration for years, and today we got 62 acres out. Last session we recognized the need, and we assumed that it would be taken care of. It hasn't. So this year, Mr. Speaker, we'll try and perfect it and expand it and mandate that the land gets out in a reasonable, sensible manner. Again, the bill is in draft form currently. Anybody is invited to take a look at it, sign on as co-sponsors, but we've got to do something. We just can't wait anymore. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any other special orders? Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, may I comment on the same subject?
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am happy to hear that this is being worked on. In fact, I've given a little input myself on it. But I do think there was one alternative which has not been mentioned. If something isn't happening, Miles did say we're going to mandate this. We mandated it last year with 720. Nothing happened, really. Now, are we going to mandate this? Is something going to happen this time? The legislature does have a way of fixing responsibility on the person in charge of the appropriate department. And if the mandate of the legislature is not being carried out, there are certain steps the legislature can take. Now, I realize, of course, that the most extreme step is impeachment, and I think the legislature would be, and rightly so, extremely reluctant to go to that step. However, there are other measures that the legislature can use to ensure that the head of the appropriate department does carry out what the legislature has mandated. I don't know that there's a majority of the members of the legislature who are willing to take some of those actions at this point, but there just might be.
Are there further special orders? Representative Rogers. There are further special orders. Announcements of committee meetings. I might start off by announcing that there will be session on Saturday at 9 a.m. in the morning, and we do expect the committees will be meeting. I know several committees have hearings already scheduled. Session will not be a long one, so that the committees will be able to meet after session and in the afternoon. Representative Brown.
Speaker, the House Commerce Committee will continue our public hearing on the sunset review of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board in the committee room at 1:15 this afternoon, and then we will be considering bills tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and I'm sorry I don't have a list of the bills here, but they will be posted out there and provided to the clerk. The list has, in fact, been circulated, and then we'll be meeting at 8 o'clock on Monday morning to do wrap-up on sunset.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, we have quite a long agenda for this afternoon and tomorrow. Three bills did not see action yesterday that were scheduled, so they'll be the first out of the chute today. That's HB 235, 238, and 299, all dealing with special appropriations for Kodiak. This afternoon at 1:15, those bills will be considered, as will House Bill 254, National Guard Retirement, House Bill 273, Competitive Bidding Under Fiscal Procedure Act, HB 312, Special Appropriations for the DOT for Road Construction and Improvement, HB 276, Special Appropriations to DOT for facilities on the Alaska Peninsula and the Aleutian Chain. It's doubtful we can accomplish or whether we can get through all of that legislation this afternoon, Mr. Speaker, so whatever we don't do this afternoon, we'll take up tomorrow at 10 a.m. At this time, I'd like to also mention, Mr. Speaker, that Monday evening, this is so that members who might be interested in this very important subject can sit in, at Monday evening at 7:30 p.m., we're going to have a teleconferenced hearing on on HB 240, which is the AGSOP bill. And I mentioned this as teleconference for a little bit of difference. If people from outside this community wish to testify, they'll certainly be able to do so. But the principal reason for the teleconferencing will be that people in, well, all over the state, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and all the other communities that are hooked up to the teleconference network, so that those people can come down to the teleconference network and listen in and get information, because the AGSOP meeting Monday night will be primarily informational for the benefit of legislators and anybody else who wants to sit in.
Representative Meekins. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 this afternoon. We have House Bill 6 establishing time schedules for organization of the legislature. House Bill 105, Recovery from Expenses from State on Hearing and Appeal of Disputed Tax Payments. House Bill 250, Removing Exemption of Banks from the State Antitrust Law. House Bill 294, Act Relating to Mobile Homes. Tomorrow we meet at 1:30 on House Bill 2, Rights of the Mentally Ill. We may not finish the complete agenda today, but the ones we don't will be carried over to tomorrow afternoon.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon at 1 p.m., we have House Bill 185, Cultural Facilities, and House Bill 211, Public Elementary and Secondary Education Programs. I'm not going to have a meeting tomorrow because it now conflicts with judiciary, but starting Monday night, we will have some meetings.
Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, CRA will meet in the Bradley Room after the session, let's say 11:30, to have markup on House Bill 192, Revenue Sharing. Tomorrow, after the State Affairs meeting in that room, the subcommittee will meet with the APOC commissioners on the Lobbying Act.
Representative Osterbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resource Committee will meet today at 1:30. Confirmation hearings on the Fish and Game Board and also on the King Crab Quality Control Board. And at 3 p.m. we'll meet again. I don't know if we'll have a break in between there or not, but at 3 p.m. we'll meet taking up House Bill 20, Commercial Fishery Loans, and SSHB 30, Commercial Fishing Agriculture Bank.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Resources will also meet tomorrow, Saturday, at 1 o'clock. And the Resources Committee to go through HB 123, Assessment of Oil Exploration Property, House Bill 193, Regionalization of Fish and Game Boards, House Joint Resolution 15, Remote Sense Mapping of Alaska, and time permitting, we'll probably take up the Susitna hydroelectric bills.
Representative Duncan.
Budget and Audit Committee will meet today at noon in Senate Finance.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, would you refresh my memory? Is it Monday that we're going to have the joint session, and what time will that be?
It'll be at 2 p.m. on Monday. It'll be a joint session to hear from Senator Gravel. Are there any further committee announcements? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, if there's no further business to come before the House, I move and ask unanimous consent we adjourn till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. We adjourn till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.